Here on Talk of the Nation, we're going to bring you part two in our series on getting your finances in order. And today, our topic is getting out of debt. It may not be the official beginning of the year, but for many, autumn is the time to get organized again, whether you're going back to school or not. In that spirit, we've decided to help you get your finances in order. In our first installment, we talked about refinancing and mortgage rates. This week, our topic is getting out of debt. If you have a question, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now is Todd Mark. He's with the Consumer Credit Counseling Service, and he joins us from where he's on vacation in Tybee Island in Georgia. And thanks so much for taking a break from your time off to be with us today.
Neil, thanks so much for having me today on Talk of the Nation.
What's the one thing that gets most people into debt?
Well, obviously, the old don't spend what you don't have. You know, people that come to CCCS of Atlanta generally come to us with about $20,000 in credit card debt, and that's versus an average income of $36,000, $37,000. So these are people that are spending way past anything that they would have normally budgeted that they could afford on their income.
So plastic, the credit card, that's the biggest culprit?
Yeah, and Neil, the way we see it with the clientele that come to us is pretty much broken up in two groups. There's what I call the habitual spenders. That's about half the people that come to us. These are folks that just go a little bit past what they can afford each and every month, and it builds up over time. So if it's $100 a month, that's $1,200 after a year, and it's close to like $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 after 5 years, and they say, gee, where did that come from? I really didn't do any big purchases. So that's about half the folks that come to us. Now, the other folks we see, we call situational debtors. These are folks that might not be overspending, but they weren't prepared for some sort of life-happening occurrence, such as a divorce, a medical disaster, or a death in the family, a layoff. Maybe something as simple as the car dying, and you just didn't have enough money to replace it. And these are people that didn't have the emergency savings for that so-called rainy day, and when it rained, they had no other place to go than their credit cards to kind of leverage through that emergency.
Now, you're describing different kinds of debtors. Are there different kinds of debt?
Well, absolutely. People come to us so often, and they're worried about their secured versus their unsecured debts. And secured debts are things like your house. Your mortgage is secured by your home. Your car payments, secured by your car. If you fail to make payments on these things, well, your house will be foreclosed on and you'll be out on the street. If you don't make your car payment, you're going to have a visit by the repo man in the middle of the night. Now, obviously, if you're talking about unsecured debt, this is things such as your credit card debt, student loan debt, medical debt. These are things that if you don't make these payments, if you're not able to make these payments, the only thing ruined is your good name on your credit report. So when people come to us at CCCS, we obviously ask them, prioritize your bills. Look at what's most important. Number one, first and foremost, every month, your home and anything that goes with your home. Number two, your car. Number three, your utilities, because no sense in keeping up your home if it's not livable without electricity or water, et cetera, et cetera. Then food, because people tend to like to eat. And only once they've taken care of those necessities do we want them to start thinking about unsecured debts, such as those credit card debts.
Okay. Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address, TOTN at NPR.org. And let's go to John, who's with us from San Antonio.
Neil, what would we do without your program?
Have a big hole in the middle of your day.
No, definitely. You know, I just wanted to comment. I was in college, accrued somewhat of the unsecured debt, you know, got a couple of those cards. And within, you know, 2 or 3 months of seeing a balance of $500 to $600, I was scared somewhat stiff. And I did what is probably the hardest thing for people in debt to do, and that was I reduced my wants. I started eating out a little bit less. When we go out to the bar with a group of friends, I'd maybe drink from one of those $1 domestic beers. And, you know, after about 2 quarters, I was able to reduce that to zero. But what I see is a lot of these friends and coworkers that say, you know, I've got $20,000 in debt. But the hardest thing for them to do is the only thing really for them to do, and that is for them to reduce their urges.
Congratulations, John, for one thing. But Todd Mark, as you were talking about earlier, a lot of people have a difficulty being as disciplined as John.
Wow. Well, first off, John, you not only are a graduate of college, but a graduate of Credit 101. You beat the program. You've conquered your wants versus your needs. So you should be commended. Unfortunately, John, people that come to us, we see college students graduating with an average of about $8,000 in credit card debt. And remember, that's not including all their student loan debt that they're graduating with. And you know, with unemployment the way it is, it's not easy for kids just getting out of college to get a job. So what happens a few months after they graduate and they have that first coupon that's due for their loans, plus they've got all this student this credit card debt that they've accrued, and they're in big trouble. And it's a great time to bring up that you face this in college, because colleges have just gone back into session the last few weeks. And this is the time when people first get into trouble. There's not a lot of credit education in the high schools, and parents aren't doing a good enough job to explain what happens with a credit card. So what happens? These kids get on campus, and they're deluged with the, get a free T-shirt, sign up here. And they have no idea what they've just signed up for. They don't know if they're being charged an annual fee, an application fee. They have no idea what their interest rate is, and if it's fixed or tied to the prime rate, what their grace period is. They have no idea of what it means. They just think of it as a sense of entitlement, part of growing up. And that's why it's so typical that we see somebody just after their first semester in their freshman year come to us with a couple $1,000s in credit card debt.
Well, John, it also sounds like if you're buying the dollar domestic beer and your buddies are still springing for the premium brands, you're not dividing too many checks.
No, but although, after college, life has been very good to me, and now after getting back from 3 years in Germany, I seem to have acquired a taste for some of the other brands, but... Yeah, I just wanted to say in leaving that we haven't carried a balance, my wife and I, since about 98, and we sort of turned the tables on the major brand of credit card company that we have and found one that offered a nice rebate for purchases. And when we purchased our minivan here after coming back to the States, we paid cash for it, of course, since we saved up, and we got a check from that company for $1,076. After never having carried a balance or paid any fees since about 98.
Congratulations, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much.
Wow, Neil, you just heard it right there. Step number one of staying out of debt, don't spend what you don't have. And it's obvious that John is paying off his bills not only on time every month, but paying them off in full every month. So he's got no balance that he's carrying over. He's not paying interest. And it's okay if he wants to splurge every now and then for one of those expensive beers.
Here's an email question from Desiree. I have about $4,000 of credit card debt and $4,000 of student loan debt. Should I sell my stocks worth about $8,000 to pay off my debt once and for all?
Selling off the stocks versus your debt. I guess that really depends on where you think the market's going to be going in the short term and the long term, and what those stock money was for. Is that for your retirement? Is that for short-term goals, such as getting out of debt or for putting down a down payment on a house or a car, even, Desiree? What you really have to do is look at the interest rate that you're paying on the $4,000 of credit card debt. I guarantee you your student loan debt is probably going to be extremely cheap, probably between 3 and 4%. And I never like to look at student loan as are being debts. I like to think of student loan as really being an investment in your future. Because remember, folks who've gone to college, they've gotten the degree, they're going to earn 2 to 3 times what somebody without a degree is going to get over the course of their lifetime. So don't think of student loan as really bad debt that you're overwhelmed with and fearing at night. Think of that as a good investment. Now, the $4,000 of credit card debt, what you need to do is lay out the credit cards and what are the interest rates. We always want people to find out what their interest rates are, and without even selling the stocks, maybe you can just take a little bit of money that you've got left over at the end of every month, Desiree, and throw as much as you possibly can do on the highest interest rate card. This is known as laddering. So pay the minimums on all the other cards, but throw as much money as you can. Say, for example, you've got one card at 20%. Once you've got that card eliminated, then go to the next card. Maybe it's at 16%. And you start knocking off those high interest rate cards, and then, you know, you're going to be out of debt a lot quicker. And maybe you're able to do that without selling those stocks, so you don't have to forego whatever goals you had with that stock money in the first place.
We're speaking with Todd Mark of the Consumer Credit Counseling Service in Atlanta, Georgia. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller. Christina is with us from San Antonio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is I just graduated in May, and I'm still trying to find that job that'll pay me 2 to 3 times higher than the person without a college education. But I'm also noticing that for the last few years that I've had my credit card debt, I've not paid anything off the principal balance. So my question is, would you recommend going into debt, a debt consolidation program? And if so, would that have an adverse effect on your credit report?
Well, first off, Christina, congratulations on graduating from college.
Thank you.
So how much credit card debt do you have?
About $12,000.
Just a little bit more than that national average I was telling you about. And by the way, was that mostly lifestyle stuff that you financed through? Was that books? Was that living expenses?
Yes.
So. Donations to public radio.
That's of course.
Actually, yes.
Well, Christina, you have no job, you said, right now.
Well, actually, I do have a job. It's just not as high-paying as I would like to have.
Well, here's what I'm going to get at. Do you have money to be paying even the minimums down on these credit cards each month?
Yes, I do, but there's nothing coming out of the principal balance. I'm just paying interest.
Absolutely, and as we call it, the minimum payment syndrome. It's so easy when you see that bill every month. I only owe $20. Sure, I owe a couple thousand, but they only want $20 from me, and you feel almost good about paying that $20 a month, and then people see exactly what you're seeing, Christina, that you're going to be paying off those credit cards over 15 to 20 years, even longer. That's the magic of compounding in reverse. So here's where you're talking about doing a debt management plan, just as CCCS all across the country can offer to you. And what happens in a debt management plan is we'll negotiate with your creditors to lower interest rates on your behalf, and if you have any late fees or over-the-limit fees, we might wipe those out. So the question is, are you going to be able to come up with enough money to make a reasonable plan? We try to get people paid off with their debts within 3 to 5 years. If it was any longer than 5 years, gee, you're almost looking at maybe bankruptcy might be a better option. And obviously, we're here to try to help people avoid that. So, I'm sorry?
Will that have an adverse effect on my credit report in the long run?
A bankruptcy would, yeah.
No, a bankruptcy would. Let me tell you, what does your credit look like right now, Christina?
It's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
Do you know what your credit score is?
No, I don't.
Well, first off, it's always great, whether you're in debt or not, for people to pull all three of their credit reports from Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion once a year. And if you don't get it with those reports, get your credit score, your Fair Isaac score. And that is the big score that dictates whether you're going to be approved for home loans, car loans, what kind of interest rate you're going to be paying on credit cards. It also affects what sort of rates you're going to get on insurance, both for your car insurance, your home insurance, and even it could be the dictating situation of whether you get a job or not, Christina. You're looking for that top job right now. Believe it or not, if you don't have a good credit score, employers are looking at that because they want to know, is she reasonable with her own finances? Because if she's not, maybe she's not going to be a great employee for us.
Do you have to pay for those credit reports?
There's five states where you get them free once per year. And believe it or not, the only state in the country that gives you two free credit reports a year is the state that I'm in, which is Georgia. The other states you've got to pay, they're generally about $8 per report. And you can go to all three of the websites for those credit bureaus, and it's just .com, past their name, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And you can order those online or over the phone. You can also get your credit score directly from Fair Isaac from a website, MyFICO, MyFICO.com, and I think that's $12.95. So, Christina, I wanted to circle back to the debt management thing you asked about.
And keep it quick if you can.
Absolutely. Is there an impact? There is no impact whatsoever on your credit score if you get any sort of credit counseling or you enter a debt management plan. Now, if you do a debt management plan, we don't report it to the credit bureaus, but each creditor might notify it differently in your report. Some might say paid as agreed. Others might say under management of a credit counseling agency. The only way this is really going to affect you is if you're looking to do a big purchase, such as a home or a car in the near future. And chances are, if you've got $12,000 in debt and you don't have that dream job right now, you're not going to be looking to do it. So I wouldn't worry too much about it affecting your credit.
Well, good.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck, Christina.
Thank you.
And Todd Mark, thanks very much.
Neil, thanks so much for having me today on Talk of the Nation.
Todd Mark is with the Consumer Credit Counseling Service. He joined us from Tybee Island in Georgia. Next week in part three of our financial series, how do you start planning for your retirement? In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.